It is indeed a blessing, a privilege to be with you here this morning. We are maybe a bit travel weary and living out of a suitcase for the past 2 weeks or so, but it is a joy to be with you here this morning, to be with God's people and to worship our Lord and Savior. I trust that our lives can be enriched by being together here this morning and thinking about God's Word. I'd like for us to think a bit this morning about commitment. As followers of Jesus Christ, we face a number of obstacles and oppositions as we go through life. And there's times when it seems as though there's nothing to keep carrying us forward. It's times like that that we need commitment. A commitment to a cause, something that is worthy, something that is worthwhile. In the society that we live in the world that we live in today, there's a lot of uncommitted people. There's a lot of people who begin something, but they don't ever finish. Commitment has been defined as an agreement or a pledge to do something in the future, or the state or an instance of being obligated or emotionally impelled. And I believe the reason that many people are afraid of commitment is because they don't want to be obligated. They want to be free to do whatever they decide to do at the moment. But we know that as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to commit ourselves to Him. There are two key items that are required to make a difference in our world. One is that we need a cause that's worthy. And secondly, we need a people that are committed to that cause. The price of commitment is high. And possibly that is why there are so few that are willing to commit. They're not willing to pay the price. They're not willing to give themselves to the cause. Jesus in Luke 9 encountered three men. Three men that had excuses as to why they could not commit themselves to following Him. The first man volunteered to go until he heard the cost of following Jesus. Jesus told him he has nowhere to lay his head. It's possible this man was accustomed to a comfortable home and he wasn't willing to pay the price. The second man Jesus called to follow him, but he rejected because he was not willing to take up his cross. He was not willing to die to himself. He was concerned about burying his father. The third man also volunteered to follow Jesus, but he was looking back. Jesus told him, "No man who has put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven." Now, these three men all made a decision to follow Jesus. They wanted to follow him, but they were not willing to follow through with a commitment. There's a vast difference between making a decision and being committed to that decision. And I think we understand, we're aware of that very problem in our world today. Sadly, according to statistics, the failure rate of marriages in America is at 50%. Why? These people are making decisions. They're deciding to live life together. But when things become difficult, there is a lack of commitment to seeing, to following through with a decision that they've made. They've made the decision, but they're not willing to commit themselves to whatever it takes to make the marriage work. Sadly, the same is true in churches. And I venture to say that the reason that the church is not making more of an impact in our society is that there are too many people, too many church members that are only making a decision about Christ, but not making a commitment to Christ. When the pilot of an airliner is speeding down the runway, there is a certain point where staying on the ground is no longer an option. When he crosses that line, he is committed to put that airliner into the air, or there's going to be a huge problem, a disastrous crash. It's at that point that he commits himself to getting into the air. We, in our lives, I believe, come to those points, decision points also, where it is no longer an option to stay on the ground. We need to make that commitment in our life. Jesus Christ calls us to that commitment. In Romans chapter 12, I'd like to read verses 1 and 2. Paul, writing here to the Romans, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Presenting there is the word, same word that is used, that was used for offering a sacrifice. He is calling us to a voluntary action. Something that we need to decide for ourselves. He says the motivation for that commitment, the motivation for that sacrifice to God is the mercies of God. Paul goes on to say that it's our reasonable service. When we consider the mercies of God in our lives, Paul is saying there is only one reasonable response, and that is to give our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. It is the logical thing to do, because God, in His mercy, has called us to Himself. It's not because of who we are. It's not because of something we've done. It is simply the mercies of God. In the Old Testament, under the sacrificial system, the animal to be sacrificed was committed to the priest who performed the sacrifice. In that same way, God is calling us to present ourselves unto Him as a living sacrifice, with the understanding that there is no such thing as a partial sacrifice. There is nothing like a partial commitment. It's really impossible to be sort of committed. We're either committed or we're not. Commitment is what we need to give us the power to live the kind of life that God calls us to. No matter what comes to us, whether it's sickness, poverty, or disaster, when we have a commitment to follow through, we are never going to turn our eyes from the goal. The question may come, what is commitment to you? What is commitment to me? To each of us, it may mean something different. But no matter what it is, the principle remains the same. To a person running a marathon, it is keeping going, even those last miles when it seems as though you can no longer go. Commitment is finishing the race. To a soldier, it's going on, not knowing what's waiting on the other side, but committed to a cause. To us, as followers of Jesus Christ, it's all that and more. There are people who are watching our lives. There are people depending on us to continue on, to run the race, even though it feels as though we can no longer go on. It is displaying courage when we are faced with the unknown. Commitment is the foundation for successful Christian living. Commitment starts in our hearts. Some of us have personalities where we want things to be lined up and perfect before we're willing to commit to doing something. But it doesn't always work that way. True commitment precedes achievement. Commitment is usually tested by action. We can talk about commitment, about being committed, but the only real measure of our commitment is action. Doesn't matter how much we tell others that we are committed. Commitment, it needs to be put into action. And out of our commitment to Jesus Christ, then, comes our commitment to other areas of life. The commitment to personal growth. We are called to be followers of Jesus Christ, to be disciples, to be learners, learn from Him. And as human beings, I don't believe there's ever a point in our lives where we no longer need to learn. We never reach a point where we have arrived. Even the Apostle Paul, talking about himself in Philippians chapter 3, he says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on." And he finishes those verses by saying, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended." He had not totally reached perfection. He had not totally arrived. But he was continuing on, even towards the end of his life. We need to make a commitment to continue to grow spiritually, to grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. Never give up on learning. Another area that we need commitment in is a commitment to the local body, the church, the local body of believers that we gather together with. This is an avenue through which the Lord can accomplish His work. We gather together for worship, for teaching, and for fellowship. And as we do that, that gives us the power to carry out our individual ministry as we go to our various places of responsibility in the world. The person who forsakes the assembling together forfeits the power of a corporate identity. And commitment to a local body goes deeper than just attendance in the Sunday morning services. It does begin there, but it goes deeper. If we want to get to know the people of our local body, it needs to be done in the context of involvement. Commitment to a local body demands loyalty. We're not perfect. No one is perfect. But we need to make that commitment to be involved in the lives of the people that we worship with, the people that we associate with. And there's a number of practical ways that we can do that. One, obviously, is being faithful when the body gathers together. Getting to know those that we gather together with. Being loyal. Being willing to make a contribution to the local body. Both are needed, that contribution and a commitment to each other. You may have heard of the story of the hen and the pig that approached a church and read the advertised sermon topic. What can we do to help the poor? The hen had a suggestion. The hen suggested that they feed them bacon and eggs. The pig thought for a moment. His response was, "There's only one thing wrong with feeding bacon and eggs to the poor. For you, it requires only a contribution. For me, it requires commitment." Are we willing to commit ourselves to that extent to the body of Jesus Christ? I trust that we are. Then there's also the commitment to ministry, involving ourselves in the lives of others, using our talents and our gifts to serve in the various ministries of the church. In Romans chapter 12, Paul went on there to remind the people that we have different gifts. Gifts according to the grace that is given to us. Ministry is putting those gifts to work. Being a part of what is going on in the church, not just being spectators, not just watching, but being involved. We're told that God has sovereignly placed each individual with various gifts in each of the churches. If God has placed me in a church for my gifts, and I don't do my part, there may be something lacking. There may be a job not being done. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul talks about the change that had taken place in their lives because of what Jesus had done on the cross. And he was addressing both Jews and Gentiles. The Jews felt like they were the what we call the in-group because of their strict keeping of the law, and the Gentiles were outsiders. Paul was trying to get across to the Jews that both groups were brought near through the blood of Christ. It took both groups. God was interested in both. And he brought them together. He made a way for those who were outsiders to become a part of the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the common denominator that brought them together, the one who destroyed the barriers that separated them at this point. He brought peace with God, brought reconciliation, made all of us to belong as a part of the body of Christ. And along with belonging, there came the privileges. Privileges that they had as followers of Jesus Christ. But privileges also come with responsibilities. These new Christians came from all kinds of backgrounds. And yet, we're told in the book of Acts that they had all things in common. How did they manage to do that? How could they tolerate the barriers and the prejudices that existed among them? Why did they still have that enthusiasm to follow Jesus Christ? It was because of their commitment. They were committed to the cause of Jesus Christ. That common purpose, that common unity bonded them together. And they were able to fellowship and enjoy each other. Their religion was real. They saw answers to their prayer. And they were excited about following Jesus Christ. How do we become committed? How do I improve my level of commitment? One of the ways I think that we can improve our commitment is to measure it. What is my commitment now? Do my actions, does the life that I live indicate that I am committed? How do I spend my time? Where do I spend my money? We measure our commitment by some of those things. We can also improve our level of commitment by knowing what's worth dying for. What in life would you not be able to stop doing, no matter what the consequences are? I think it's important for us to think about that. Being a follower of Jesus Christ brings with it some things that maybe are not so desirable for those in the world. Our world is against the cause of Jesus Christ. And it's becoming increasingly more and more that way, that people are becoming hostile against those who are believers in Jesus Christ. Another way to improve our commitment is what someone has called to use the Edison method. If taking the first step toward commitment is a problem, someone has suggested to try what Thomas Edison did in all of his inventions. I'm told that when he had a good idea for an invention, he would call a conference and announce it. And then he would go into his lab and invent it. He made himself accountable, made his plans public. That gave him the motivation that he needed, the commitment that he needed to follow through with producing something. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I think Paul there is telling us that we have a responsibility not to pattern our lives after the world, but we are to pattern our lives according to God's will. And the only way that we are going to be able to follow through in patterning ourselves according to God's will is by making a commitment. Total commitment means that we are not afraid to be different. That's the point where many people fail. Because being different can cause some issues, can cause some problems, some trouble. Being different means that I might be criticized, be misunderstood. Being different means that I'm not going after the same things everybody else is. Being different is not always the popular thing. But is that kind of commitment that's going to change our world? I'd like to close with some examples of what the scripture is talking about when it challenges us to be different. Scripture challenges us to love instead of hating. We are to forgive rather than forsake. We are to accept rather than reject. We are called to surrender our lives. We are called to serve with a heart that is devoted wholly to God. When we are willing to live different lives, lives that honor and glorify Christ, we are revealing to the world the loving plan of God to bring all mankind unto himself, and to do that, it takes a commitment on our part, a commitment to serve Christ. Remember, we cannot do a partial commitment. We are either committed to following Christ or we're not. And I trust that each of us here are willing to make that commitment, to follow through with it, and to build the kingdom of Jesus Christ.